Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 15. Trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Chapter 7 tells us they're going to be hungry, they're going to be tears wiped away because they've been crying, they're going to be hungry, thirsty, and they're going to be scorched with the same sun that the lost people are. The only thing I think I see them getting away from is when those demons come up in chapter 9. When they come out, they sting only the people who aren't sealed by God. And so you're seeing some little bit of nuance that they'll be able to avoid. But for the most part, they're going through the Badlands. And for many of them, they're going to get their heads chopped off. That's not really a good day from an earthly perspective. But from a heavenly perspective, if you ask the first and second century saints, they would tell you that was Emancipation Day. That was a crowning day. Paul said it. He said, I'm ready. He said, I've run the race. I've finished my course. Henceforth laid up for me a crown of glory. I'm just ready for my crowning day. And other saints began to grab hold of that in the wake of his life. People stumble. People fall. They come back. There's a prodigal son who's still a son in the Badlands. He's miserable. He loses everything, but he's still a son. He knows he can come back, and the father doesn't say, yeah, come on, get in the servants' quarters. You know where they are. Get out of my sight. I don't like you anymore. No, he runs up the street and takes the indignity of running as an older man, and he puts his arm around his son, and he says, listen, this is my boy. Bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the shoes, put him on his feet, hands back. Do what you got to do. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son is home. Listen, he tells you it's going to be okay as far as you and he are concerned in this dispensation, but there's coming a moment. It's coming a moment when it's not going to be okay and easy. It's not even easy even down here now. There's a lot of people in the church across the world right now being persecuted and many laying down their lives in China and some of the Muslim countries, Africa, and different places in the world. More Christians have been killed, more saints have been killed in our generation than were all ever killed before. Partly because there's a lot more people, but nevertheless, martyrdom is not unknown in our day. This day it's going to be really bad. And as soon as they hit home, sea of glass mingled with fire, pulled out just like Israel pulled out at the last minute. It'll be one day, not dark, not clear, not understand, but then light. These people are going to wake up in glory and they're going to have harps and they're going to be singing. In verse 3, the Bible says, and they shall sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thy works and thy ways. What I want you to see is this seems to be kind of a companion verse to chapter 14, verse 2. It says, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. This is where the Lamb is standing on the real Mount Zion. And it says there that they heard on the earth a great thunder, and I heard the voice from heaven of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders that no man could learn except the 144,000 which were redeemed. So people who get to heaven right away in chapter 15, it might be their voices they're hearing because Jesus is on site in chapter 14. The Lamb is there and the 144,000, and they're hearing the songs, but there's people who just arrived, and they're singing them, and it could be that there's this gate that's open all at the same time. Because what he's doing is he's telegraphing in this interlude between chapter 8 and 9, which is the trumpet judgments, all the way to chapter 16. He's telegraphing to us that there's something going to happen right now that's going to be okay. Just keep, oh, trust me. Keep your eyes on me. And the Bible says that they worshipped him for his works and his ways. His works reminds us of chapter 4, where it says that, you know, you're the creator of all things. You're worthy to take to you power and glory. And chapter 5 is about thy ways. You redeemed us. You created all things and you redeemed us. These are his works and his ways. People who don't understand and believe in Jesus have a lot of evidence to deny. And I found out of late that our world is pretty good at denying obvious evidence. And science. There are two genders. But don't say that out loud if you're a scientist. I heard one neuroscientist got fired for saying there were two genders. He got fired for saying that. We'll shut you down. We'll lock you up. will cancel you. You say there's two genders. This world we live in is full of deceit. Like never before. Never before has the world been so completely out of its mind. Out of its mind. We're living in it. The Bible says God's going to send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And that's what's going on right now. The Bible says in verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O God, and glorify thy name? You know, it's not bad to fear your dad. If your dad is a good man, he might have to spank you. If you have your child behaving poorly in a way that could hurt them and harm them, they're going to run out into the traffic. They're going to you know, play with the poison implements in the garage, or they're going to get up underneath the counter. You're going to smack their hand. You say, well, that's not nice. Not nice has gotten us nowhere. We have a whole generation of young people who do not even believe there are consequences. Heard about this lady, actually listened to the clip of it. She was crying crocodile tears because her landlord was trying to put her out. She hadn't paid her rent for weeks. She says, you don't understand. I've been doing social work with BLM and all these different matters and all that. You can't kick me out. I've been doing important things. You didn't pay your bill. That don't matter. And she's crying because she thinks she deserves. And a generation cross-sectionally today has a whole lot of folks who think they deserve that extra $300 kicker in their check. And these stimulus checks, which aren't stimulus. They're not stimulus. What they are is they're bribes. They're bribing you not to look at what's really going on. And they're marching us over a cliff. And the Bible says, who would not fear you? Who would not take a second look? Who would not respect you? Who would not look again? See, you and I, we understand from years perhaps of walking with Him enough to where we know that He's good, altogether good. He brings you peace because He's the Prince of Peace. And you calm down because He's the one who's got the story in His own hand. And He's the one who wrote it. And you're in it. He wrote your name in it. And there you are. And He knows right where you are. He doesn't need a digital signature. He knows where you are. Why? Because it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. We're in Him. And in Him means if you hurt the toe, the whole body hurts. I don't know where you are in the continuum. But if you're a knee or an arm or a hand or an eye, He knows where you are. And if you're hurting, He knows where you are. We do not have an high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we, and yet without sin. You and I have a Savior who understands what we're going through. He knows what it is to lose. He knows what it is to get. He knows what it is for victory. And He knows what it is in abandonment. He knows it all. The Bible says, who will not fear you, God? Who will not glorify you? For you are holy. And an interesting thing is, He's the only one. You only are holy, it says. You want to get through this? Look at Him. Because He's the only one who can take the unholy that is you and me and make it holy. When He touches us, He cleanses us. We're the leper, He puts His hand forth. I will be thou clean. The Bible says, who will not worship you? It says, for your judgments are made manifest. And He just sent three angels to wake everybody up, even in that last dark hour. Your judgments, you don't want any to perish. Verse 5 says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Interesting thing about this temple and the tabernacle. If you go back to the tabernacle, you will find that in the outer court where they did everyday service, which is called the holy place, and then inside where the ark was the most holy place. Out here in the holy place, what you would find in looking at the implements is you would find a 7-pronged candlestick on one side. And on the other side, you would find 12 loaves of bread called the showbread. And it's called the bread of the faces. And in its original, there's certain places where it actually refers to the bread of the faces. So you have 12 loaves of bread, and then you have over here 12 candlesticks. We found out in chapter 1 what the candlestick was. It was the church.
And you find out in the Old Testament that these 12 loaves of bread were the showbread. And what you have is you have Israel represented, you have the church represented, you have prayers of them both kind of coming toward the veil. And you've got really a stick feature of God's plan. You want to know what God's plan is? It's to save the Jews and the Gentiles. He says, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm here for. I'm in here right now. But once a year, you come in, you go out, you come in, you go out. Once a year, every year. And you'll remember that I'm going in, I'm coming back. I'm going in, I'm coming. No, Jesus is coming. He who will come shall come. He will not tarry. Bible teaches us that that's what's in that room. If you look at these seals, these trumpets in chapter 8 and 9, and then you get to this one that's coming, what he's telling us is that heaven and earth right now are going to converge. In Revelation 21, the Bible says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The tabernacle of Almighty God will be on earth. And what he says in chapter 11 is he says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. This is visions. But what's happening in chapter 21 is the final amen's been said. The second coming happened. The millennial kingdom was set up. And now you have a satellite city and people are able to come and go from that city. But the believer who is a child of God in Christ, we who are the bride of Christ, we're going to live there. That's our home. I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming to receive you. That's your home. And the world can come and see. They're going to bring the nation will bring their glory in. But you and I will be able to come and go and live there. That's our home. I'm saying that this is all telling us, foreshadowing here, before those bowls pour out. We're standing in a moment of pause. Breath held. Leaning in. Anticipation. And he's telling us that the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple. These seven angels that were introduced in verse 1, seven bowls were given to them. The Bible says these seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. The Bible says, and one of the four beasts, an emissary from one of the four living creatures, came unto the seven angels, seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. You've all seen somewhere it depicted somebody holding nitroglycerin. You can see these guys, angels included, would be a little bit nervous about this. They've just been given the wrath of God in a bowl. You think about that. There it is. This is going to take down the whole world. And you're going to go with that. Don't drop it. You're going to go with that. And the Bible says in verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. When these angels go, when these bowls begin to fall, the reality is no longer will there be any intercession accepted. When Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, he said, I cried unto God and my prayer went into the throne room of God and He heard me. He was in the belly of a fish in the bottom of the sea. What we're seeing here is nobody's going to get in. Nobody's going to intercede. This is done. We're pulling the trigger. It's going to be boom, 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 boom. Guys, listen. You think that world out there is pretty? Yeah, the sky and the sun's pretty. But the system of this world is corrupt. Down to the bone. And right now, this world is begging for a whipping. And I have a feeling that God's going to oblige them. Because time is almost up. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.